We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org, be drink aware for details and T's and C's. Visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
It's the True Faith Podcast with me, Simon Campbell. I am joined by Stephen Ord, Ketch and Rob Rubenstein to talk to you tonight about the St. James's Park situation. Now, there has been a lot of noise in the press about whether Newcastle United should be moving stadium, and it seems like there's no coincidence. Something must have been briefed. Some messages are starting to come out. Is there a plan coming together about St. James's Park? Now, lads, we have to assume maybe that St. James's Park isn't going to be extended. You know, there's not been any planning permission put in. We've had owners who are here 2.5 years now. Nothing's happened. So if there's some news coming out, what do we think it's going to be? I guess the first question is are we going to have to move? Ketch, I'll come to you first, mate. Where are you on this and what do you think's happening?
It's going to be an indication, I think, of the ambition of the club. I mean, if they do move, then that's showing proper ambition. I think if they stay, they might be able to squeeze a few more thousand out of the capacity, but that'll probably be corporate. So I think if they do move, I think that just shows their ambitions. They want to go into that 80, 90,000 category. It's... If I was to guess, I would say that they probably are going to move, but the time frame on that could be as long as 5-10 years.
Yeah, Rob, has it come to a time now with especially the way the season's gone, the kind of January transfer window that we just had? Is it now the sustainability and profitability rules? Newcastle need a bigger stadium if they want to take the next step as a football club.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I saw a few people talking about the fact that, you know, Chelsea built themselves up without getting a new stadium. But that's what's different, is that they didn't have those rules that we do now. And because of that, the reality is that every match day we technically lose money because there is tickets that we are unable to sell that we could be selling. I think Newcastle have been smart in what they've said so far, and that they are doing the studies, they are trying to expand the stadium, but I think they are kind of walking that tightrope between the fans on one side and probably what the new owners want to do is come in and mix it up. And, you know, what's in it for them? They want to come in and, you know, show off and have the best team in Europe, in the world. And a part of doing that is being able to freely expand and grow. And at the moment, St. James's Park, where it is, it really is kind of struggling to grow as they would want it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen, would you agree? Is what's hamstringing Newcastle right now exactly that? You know, we all know that our commercial revenue is much lower than those above us in the league. Is it really a case of we need to sell more tickets, get more people in the stadium? We'll talk about what that implications are for the stadium as it is, or if it's a new one. But is that where we are now? Or is there other things we can still be doing to grow? You know, everyone's talked about this season. Well, there's the Adidas deal to come in. There's plenty more work to be done off the pitch in those other areas. And the squad itself isn't quite ready for a super stadium. Or do you agree now that we have to start doing this project now?
The interesting thing is that this is probably the occasion, or this is probably the start of where demand outstrips supply. That if we wanted to, we could get 60,000-70,000 people to go and watch Newcastle every week at the minute. And we don't, because we have a stadium that only holds 52,000 people. The East Stand can't be redeveloped properly, really, because of the fact that the housing behind is listed buildings. The Gallagher, I believe it is possible to extend, but there's a whole load of ramifications around Strawberry Place, the land behind it, the metro station underneath, etc., which would lead to a not insignificant cost, which probably won't add the tens of thousands of seats to the stadium that we'd want to do. You've got to look at Liverpool. They've had to, over a period of time, start a rebuild Anfield. They're in a position where they can do that because of the space around it. They're able to make that stadium bigger. We aren't. And I'm sure there are probably people who say, well, you could do this, you could do that, whatever, but it's got to be weighed up against the cost of doing that and the potential of how much extra revenue you're going to make from tickets. We are lagging behind. I'm sure Alex said we get like a quarter or something of what Liverpool do from their ticket revenue. There are other things that we can be doing as well, which we need to be doing because we need to close that gap. You know, we need to catch Spurs up and teams like that who have obviously seen this coming down the track and put a lot of place and stuff in place for revenue and driving revenue. The Adidas deal could be a game changer, but the really big thing that could be a game changer is if you know that we're going to sell out 65,000-70,000 tickets every week. Obviously, the caveat comes with that of, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were giving away 10,000 free half-season tickets. So at the moment, it's everything's great and everything's rosy in the garden and loads of people can want to come watch Newcastle United, which is brilliant. And we all hope that we are challenging for trophies, that we're challenging at the top end of the league and that the demand continues. We've just got to be really careful that we don't bite off more than we can chew and end up with a stadium that actually, not like Darlington's, but ends up being like far too big for the situation or for the amount of fans that are actually going regularly to games. And that's got to be a concern. However, it's Premier League football and people will fly from all over the world to come watch Premier League football. So I think long term, if we can't, and you're right, Si, I think that seems to be the consensus amongst the drip of news that's coming out of the club that we can't extend it, then I think we probably do have to look at moving and where do we move to and what does that look like? That's a different question.
Yeah, I do wonder, and you know, we know that PIF don't know that much about football and about kind of the long-term picture. And you've got that kind of question hanging over our head. Well, what if we're not very good for a few years and if we have got an 80,000 stadium, do we think that we'd still sell it out? So yeah, I look back to the start of the season when they had the Cellar Cup and the club seemed really disappointed. And when we had Silverson on this podcast, he seemed a bit underwhelmed by the number of ticket sales for that game. I think they just thought that Newcastle fans would pay money for every single football match. And maybe that's made them a bit apprehensive about, well, if we build this or extend to 80,000, say, and yes, it'll sell out when we're good and it'll sell out in the first season, second season of Champions League football. But you look at Man City and think, well, actually, after 5 years, might we stop selling tickets? And then where does the viability stop? So is there a question there about whether or not the long-term demand would still be there? I'm not saying this is my own thought, but Ketch, do you think Newcastle would fill that stadium for years to come? Because I totally agree, Audie, that right now you get 20,000 more in easily for every game at the moment. But let's say we stagnate a bit and then, or even regress slightly, and it doesn't seem like unfeasible given that we're so hamstrung by FFP and profit and sustainability. Ketch, do you think over a 5-year period or longer Newcastle would continue to sell out a bigger stadium wherever it was?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And for a couple of reasons, I just think the club haven't even scratched the surface on the potential of this fan base. Like, they haven't properly started cultivating a fan base in the Middle East. North America's being neglected, the Asia fan base is non-existent. And I think the power of PIF is vast to the point where they can connect Newcastle as a city better to Europe and the rest of the world. So I think it'll become easier to fly to Newcastle from these different parts of the world. And I think, so that's an area that just hasn't been tapped at all. And then I think there's a hungry fan base in the region, in the wider region, in the north of England, into Scotland. I think there's exiled Newcastle fans who would come back to St James' Park if they could get a ticket. And we're talking about, you know, what do, you know, consistently selling out 52,000, you know, a large portion of that will become corporate. I think there'll always be that demand. And then really you're looking at sort of a, maybe what, 20,000 extra bums on seats. I don't think that's an issue at all. And I think the onus is on the club to make the football attractive and invest in the players, invest in the academy. So we've got a conveyor belt of talent like what Man City have got now. You know, their academy's 10, 15 years in, and you've got Phil Foden, Rico Lewis, yeah, all these players coming off the conveyor belt, local lads. So the onus is on the club to make it an attractive proposition. You know, it's a product. Newcastle United is a product that people want to spend money on and want to watch and want to be entertained by. So that's why I think you've got to look at a stadium move as a positive, because, wow, if they're going to put a 80, 90,000 seat stadium in Newcastle, they are here for the long term, and they're going to drive this until it becomes a massive success.
Yeah, I suppose that the question that puts in my mind is, why then, after 2.5 years, has nothing happened? I'm not suggesting any of you lads have an answer to that, but why has nothing happened? If they were serious about growing the club in the way they have, and they knew that they were selling out from day one, because they pretty much were selling out from day one, why has nothing happened yet?
I think it's back to what I said earlier on, which is them coming in and towing that line. And to be honest, I'm still on the side of that line, which is that I would prefer them to stay at St. James's and somehow make it work. You know, there's constant discussions on, can it be here? Can it be there? Can we, you know, the one I was talking about the other day was the ability to somehow get an agreement with the council and the locals and the conservationists and everybody else to get into Leasers Park and to be able to take it over and do it all there. But the thing is, it's because it's so tough, and they don't want to just outright, if the owners had come in and within those first 2 years had immediately gone, by the way, we're out of St. James, we're going to go start over there, there would have been an outcry. So it's fair enough to say, why have they done nothing? But in fairness, I don't think they could have. I think it's only kind of now that they're kind of starting to turn a few heads of the fans, and it's just that narrative kind of has slowly started changing away from, we're doing everything we can to, oh, well, it's quite tough, so we may look at other options. It's almost like they've used that 2 years to kind of ease in. And again, it's not to say that I'm for it. It's just that that's the kind of way the wave has started to turn.
Yeah.
I'm not for it, but only because I like my seat. I really like my seat. I've got a great view at St. James's Park, so I can be completely selfish and biased and say I want to stay exactly where I'm sat, because I've got a prime seat to sit there for however long, if the club allow me to keep a season ticket for however long they allow me to keep a season ticket for. On the flip side of that, Rob, I'm going to slightly disagree. I think if in the first 2 years, if they'd come in and said, right, we're going to move to this stadium and it's going to be this, I think they had so much goodwill that they could have done it. Like, it's not Ashley renaming it the Sports Direct Arena. It's true. Like saying, right, we're in three years' time, we're going to have built this stadium. Because even if they announced it within the first 2 years, it's not going to be ready. It's not like we've got a pop-up IKEA job that just suddenly, oh, we're playing there. And that I think is a really important part of it, because as I'm sure we'll get on to, kind of what your attachment to St. James's Park is completely different, probably depending on how often you've been there, etc., etc., etc. But the big thing is that if they didn't want to move, or if they hadn't considered moving, there's no way this would be drip feeding out. If there was no plan to move, why even allow journalists to start posing the question, oh, what would it look like? And start mentioning, oh, you could move to here, you can move there. If they hadn't started saying to journalists, we might have to consider moving, then we wouldn't be talking about this. So I think we can all agree that stuff is going on behind the scenes, probably stuff that we don't want to know about because it's really boring, probably some of the stuff we do want to know about because they'll be looking at locations and sites and things like that. But I don't believe this ownership group have not thought at all about where it goes next.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, it was a bit of a loaded question. Obviously, nothing has happened in the last 2.5 years. But I think, I suppose, some of the unexpected things that have happened this season and the season before, where more and more rules seem to be being put in front of Newcastle United to stop that growth. I think when they first took over the club, the stadium was always part of the plan, but it probably didn't need to be part of the plan the first couple of years. You know, we were immediately hit with the rule of fair market value for sponsors, and that's probably changed the dynamic immediately of how far they could push the club with its existing infrastructure before thinking about the stadium. It would give them time to look at, can we do anything with St. James's Park as it is? Do we need to move? And all those questions that they wanted to give themselves as much time as possible to answer. Whereas now we're in the situation where everyone's crying out for, well, we've got to do something to grow this club. And some people might not like the answer, and that's what we're going to get into. But yeah, I'm inclined to agree with all of you that there must be stuff going on behind the scenes, and that it's coming to a head now. You know, we all had that survey, I can't remember, start of the season, about what we'd like to see in a stadium, quote unquote. It wasn't about whether it was a new or existing stadium, but what we would like to see in the future for Newcastle fans. So that must have meant something. I mean, we'll leave this here. We're going to get into the bigger question is whether or not it should be a move away St. James's Park, and what that would look like, and how people feel about that. But yes, just a quick reminder from me, we are on Patreon. For as little as £3 a month, you can get this advert free and loads of extra content from us every day of the week. So please come and join us if you like what you hear here. We'll be back for part two.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Part two of the show then, and this is the really burning question about this whole situation, and that there is a, I would say, sizable section of our fan base and media and other sources that think that leaving St. James's Park might kill the club. Now, I think there were certain, you know, elements of things that we were willing to take, as the new ownership was always going to add stuff to Newcastle United that wasn't there before, but you know, Stephen, you started to allude to it there before the break, so I'll come to you first, but you'd rather stay where you are. You like your seat. You won't be the only fan at all who thinks that there'll be thousands in that boat. You know, and there's that question of, well, we're going to try and accommodate 20,000 new fans that weren't willing to go and support the club before the takeover. So, you know, is that your view, or is it more just about your seat and the St. James's Park spectacle itself for you?
I'm not entirely selfish, so it's not just all about me. A part of that I would kind of agree with. I would be hesitant to say there are 20,000 people there who didn't want to come and watch the club before, because some of them will be fans of people who were always going to games, who maybe took them, didn't buy them season tickets, blah, 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 whatever, or other people who maybe went to away games, didn't go to home games because they lived away, and now maybe would be prepared to make the effort to come up from wherever it might be to come watch us for home games, because actually it might be slightly easier than previously it was. I think probably my reticence is that I remember going in the mid-1990s when under the Keegan era, where every home game was an occasion. And 36,000 people in a bowl It made an unbelievable amount of noise. I never remember. It probably did happen. I mean, I was young, so it probably did happen. But I don't remember there ever being criticism of home atmospheres or like Newcastle's ground not sounding loud in the Keegan era. Once the extension went on, and Robson, yeah, some of the atmosphere was lost. Not that Bobby was responsible for that, but some of the atmosphere was lost, mainly because you had two or half the ground at a different level to the rest of the ground. I think probably there's an emotional attachment to it. It's where I first went to watch Newcastle United play football. It's where I got taken and got to see lush green grass and a Division 2 game against Watford, and Mickey Quinn and Mark McGee and people who were my first memories of going to watch Newcastle. But it's also a little bit about, and sadly, maybe I am going to show a little bit my age here and the less cynical side of myself, like, modern football has moved on. It doesn't want people like me. It doesn't want people who buy a season ticket and go every single week, because that doesn't make you money. What they want is someone who'll pay £300, £400, maybe once, maybe twice a season, who'll go and make a big day out of it. Who will, they might not sing, they might, but they're going to spend money on food, they're going to spend money on drink, they're going to take their prime seat, they might not rush back for the second half, they might take their time over the drinks or whatever, because they're the people who make money for fans, for clubs. Like, they're the type of fans that make money for clubs. My concern is that probably the best atmosphere we've had this season was Paris Saint-Germain. Probably the best atmosphere we've had in like 4 or 5 years was Paris Saint-Germain. And that was, like, for me, that was I thought was really incredible. The noise that was made throughout that game I thought was absolutely brilliant. Maybe I'm looking back on it through rose-tinted spectacles, but I genuinely thought that home atmosphere was colossal. And I don't know whether you'd get, whether we'd go through a period where, what was it called, the empty heart or whatever, and like Highbury being a library. You know, I was at the Emirates the other Saturday, they were 4-0 up, and it was like it wasn't even an occasion for them. Like, they weren't singing, they weren't enjoying themselves. Well, maybe they were enjoying themselves, but you couldn't see any signs of it. I've got to be really honest and say that, like, I never want to go to a football game that's like that. Because if what you come to do is to sit on your hands and be entertained and pay £1,200-1,300 a season to watch that, like, that's not football. Like, that's not the football I grew up watching. It's not the football I want to watch. And if that's what you have to do to be successful, that's a trade-off I might have to make. I mean, you know, I would have real concerns if what we replaced it with was corporate areas. Now, I'll also be really, really, really honest and say, I know if we stay at St. James's Park and expand it, that my current seat will become a corporate area. Because of how close it is to the pitch, how perfect position it is. Like, it used to be, underneath used to be corporate boxes in the East Stand. So I'm fully aware that my seat might not stay my seat because the club can move me anytime they want.
I mean, based on my experience on Saturday in the East Stand, they could at least put a roof on it for when it rains. Could have done with that.
That was perfectly dry, Si. Perfectly dry. Up a tier, mate.
Think of some of us near the front. Yes, you can see the size of Sven Botman up close, but you don't have to get wet and cold. It's a really tough one. I like the Emirates analogy in particular. I mean, we'll get on to the question of if we did move stadium, what that would look like and what's important. And it sounds like acoustics to you is one of the most important things. And that is something that the Emirates in particular does not have. It's the most open air, non-atmosphere friendly stadium I've ever been in. And you're right, even if they were singing, you wouldn't know about it because that's what that stadium's like. And yeah, maybe it's the Arsenal fans, I don't know. But generally speaking, that's not the kind of experience I like from a football match. You want a bit of atmosphere, you want a bit of animosity. But yeah, you know, that's one side of the coin. Ketch, do you have an alternate view on this? Do you sympathize less with the more traditional supporter who just wants their seat the way it was and the atmosphere the way it was? Sorry, Stephen, I'm making you sound like a grumpy old man here, but you get the idea. Ketch, what's your view here, mate?
Yeah, well, I disagree on a couple of points there. First of all, Audie, I think the club do want you. Don't put yourself down, mate. I think the club do want you because you're a loyal fan, and I know you sit in the East Stand, so you might moan a bit, but I'm sure you're a very vocal fan, and they want to mix basically. A stadium full of you know, day trippers spending money in the club shop is great, but they can't have a stadium full of that. So they want to mix and you know, the emphasis that Tottenham put on their wall, if you want to call it, behind the goal, which is one tier, showed that they valued atmosphere massively. And I think every modern stadium has to value atmosphere because it needs to look and sound good on TV. You know, that's why broadcasters are paying billions of pounds. They want a loud, colourful, noisy stadium. So they do want you, but they want more day trippers. I agree with that. I would also, the interesting comments there on the Emirates. The Emirates atmosphere is much better than what it was. I was at the game as well. I saw you at halftime, and they also, the entire lower bowl of the Emirates now stand up during the game. There's a little singing section to the left of the away end. So it shows that you can work at it and you can improve it. And it definitely has improved. It's not, you know, a Coliseum, but it's definitely improved. So with these new stadiums, I think you have to allow for an element of, you know, growing into it. I think West Ham's was really bad at the start, and they are growing into it. It's still not great by any means. Tottenham's there was a little teething period, but I think they're growing into it. And I think that's where you need to, like you said, the rose-tinted glasses, unfortunately, probably need to come off. That modern football has its faults, but it also has its pluses as well. And sadly, we are customers. Like the owners, you know, they call themselves custodians. To a degree, we're custodians. We're just longer custodians. So unfortunately, we just have to get our head around that. And I think it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small minority of fans who, you know, really desperately don't want to move. And there's a bigger group of fans who want to come into the stadium and want to spend money. And that's where the club are going to pivot their attention to.
Yeah, it's all valid. Rob, just to get your thoughts here, so we're talking about the scenario where it's not possible to expand St. James's Park wide enough to meet the kind of capacity levels that the club want to get to. So we're talking about whether or not that trade-off of getting 20 to 25,000 extra seats is worth moving away from St. James's Park. Do you share any sympathy with the view that these new fans don't deserve to come because they weren't there before? Because no one was saying we could sell out 75,000 seats during the Ashley era. That's for sure. You know, we're talking about the new era. Newcastle are class, and probably, hopefully, will continue to be class. Is it fair that the club now try and get as many people in the stadium? I guess is the question. Where are you on this?
Yeah, it's a funny one because I'm speaking with to some degree privileged position that I have a seat now. So the thing is, when you're kind of doing that kind of round table talk of what would be better for you, what would be better for you? For a lot of fans, the decision to move stadium would be so they can have a ticket. Well, I've already got one. So if you want to ask would it be better for me to have a ticket? Well, technically no. If you ask someone who maybe lives in Newcastle city centre but isn't a football fan, oh, well, the new stadium might mean that Beyonce plays there once a year, you know? So you're kind of doing this round table of everyone. What would be better for you? What would be better for you? At the moment, for me, technically speaking, it wouldn't be better because I would be being moved away from the place I've always watched my football, and I would effectively just be training in one seat for another. Now, that's what's interesting when everyone talks about, I think we're going to come on to what the stadium can provide the fans. Well, it would be interesting to know, and as you've spoken about there, being able to improve atmosphere, have singing sections, and all that kind of thing, would that improve my experience by moving? And that, I think that's why I kind of sit on that seat, to be honest, is that I have a ticket, I go over a week, I get to watch the game, I went to PSG, it was the best atmosphere I've ever been to as well, Audi. Like, for that, you know, I am not in a rush to jump. I think and then on that table, the owners, what they get is the extra money. So there's kind of a lot of people ticking a lot of boxes right now, but for some it's more than others. So that's why I'm not on that side of the fence, but you can see why a lot of people are, and you can see why the Newcastle owners are as well.
Yeah, I suppose to give a slightly different view then, because I'm not one of the people who has a season ticket currently, albeit by being part of this podcast and having so many good friends, by being one of... Is it 50,000 members? I do get a ticket to most games via someone who can't go and is able to transfer me there. So I'm very lucky in that sense. My mum's got a season ticket. That's how I was in the East Stand on Saturday. So I'm very lucky that I've got plenty of contacts. So I'm not clambering for a new stadium because it gives me, you know, more chance of getting to the game, albeit I have missed a couple because it's not always that easy. So I am on both sides of this fence. I absolutely think more people get into the game is a good thing. Ultimately, I agree with Stephen's concerns that it can, it would have to be done in a way that wasn't a huge detriment to the atmosphere, because I think that's so important to Newcastle. It's so unique to Newcastle. It's kind of meant to be the main selling point of why they even bought this club, this unique atmosphere and this kind of raucous football energy that, that we have up here. So there's, that you're right, Rob. There's so many people that this that have to be factored into this decision. But yeah, I suppose the membership question, was it 50,000 or was it more? I can't remember. But that answers, I suppose, whether or not the demand is there for an extra 20 to 30,000 seats, because I'd imagine if you asked most of the people on that membership list, would they like a season ticket? They'd say yes. Now, I suppose before we get into part three, where we talk about what a new stadium might look like, affordability will come into it. Now, you know, loads of people at St. James's Park, as it is now, are still on the 10-year price freeze that's been going on for, what, 15 years now? Stephen, you're one of them. So it's that when that changes, a new stadium would probably wipe all that clean, and you'd have a totally different pricing structure. And that's going to be interesting, is how they'd get that right. But I suppose that's where we'll break off and end this part, because yeah, I don't think any of us would be able to safely say that losing St. James's Park is, at some point in time, wouldn't be heartbreaking, and that would be the end of St. James's Park. You know, you could name a new stadium in a different location, St. James's Park, but it wouldn't be the same thing. So I think we'd all agree that sentimentally it would be a really difficult thing. No one says that would be an easy thing, but if that's what is needed to grow this club, and unfortunately this is what football is now, it's who can grow and become a global monster faster than the other. That's what football is, and if we don't join the table, we're just going to get left behind. So it's a horrible kind of, you know, Sophie's choice of a situation, but it's where we are. So we'll leave it there for part two. I'll mention Patreon one more time. You can come and join us for way more of this content every day of the week from these lads and plenty more whose voices you've heard. See you all shortly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right, lads, part three. Rob, you've just alluded to it. So, yes, let's assume that the worst thing happens for some people, and that St. James's Park is no more. It's not possible to extend it. It's not possible to kind of achieve the goals of the club without building a brand new stadium. I suppose the first question is, what does that look like? So we've seen all these super stadiums kind of built, Tottenham Hotspur, and I forget which one of you mentioned it, but Beyonce, you know, do we need a stadium that can host big concerts? Do we need NFL games in Newcastle? You know, do we need, I don't know what else, like wrestling? I'm trying to think of other events that we're trying to attract as a club to grow the revenue. Ketch, I'll come to you first, mate. You know, what does a new stadium look like and or need at Newcastle United?
Well, first of all, we need to take Beyonce off the Mackems. That needs to happen. So it needs to be obviously multi-purpose. Like, you can't, you know, who builds a stadium at this level? We're talking like this will be a £1 billion stadium if it happens. Who builds a £1 billion stadium that isn't multi event? So it would need to be able to take massive concerts. It should be able to take events like the NFL. It should have a museum. It should have space. You know, that's the one thing St. James's Park doesn't have. You know, that's why we need to move. It needs to have space around the outside, you know, not just inside the stadium, around the outside the stadium. It needs to be an occasion, an event, going to the match. It needs to have a fan park outside it. It needs to have things like rooftop tours. You know, the Tottenham, you can go on the roof. Wembley, you can do bits of pieces. And you actually can go on the roof at St. James's Park if you really want, but it needs to have you know, added value like that, it needs to be in the 80,000-90,000 capacity area for me. It needs to be that big. Retractable pitch. Look at what Real Madrid have done at the Bernabeu. I mean, have a look at some of the footage of the pitch folding beneath itself, you know, hundreds of feet beneath the Bernabeu. It's like an absolute feat of engineering, but the pitch is underneath being, you know, watered and dried out, and then they put the NFL pitch in. It needs to have, you know, Tottenham have got dedicated dressing rooms for the NFL, you know, a massive dressing room that's just for when the NFL comes into town. It needs to have scoreboards, bring back the scoreboard. It needs to have massive scoreboards where we can watch VAR. It needs to have a tannoy system that you can hear. You need to have quick pouring pints. And then the big one is it needs to have atmosphere, and it needs to, and it will, you know, a new stadium will factor these things in. The big one for me is it needs to have a visual impact. So I think one of the reasons why I'm on board with the idea of a new stadium, and I am on board with the idea of a new stadium, but with sort of caveats, maybe we'll talk about it later. You know, I don't want to move to a new stadium in 18 months. I'd like it to be, you know, properly planned and phased in. But I went to the Lusail Stadium in Qatar during the World Cup with three dyed-in-the-wool Geordies, two of whom are in their 60s, you know, not very active on social media, you know, had season tickets for decades and decades. And they looked at the Lusail and said, you know, if Newcastle could have a stadium with the sort of visual impact of this, they would both go for it. And that, to me, I was completely surprised by their reaction and their response to that. And they were like, yeah, we'd have no problem with a stadium move. Two people who I would have put, you know, nailed on to just want to stay in St. James's Park. They were like, no, if it can be as brilliant as this, I'm for it. And the Lusail is visually brilliant. Sort of structurally, though, it was a bit smoke and mirrors. Like, it didn't have a lot behind the scenes because it wasn't a long-term venue. It's a World Cup stadium in the desert. So it looked good on TV, but sort of behind the scenes, it was actually quite basic. But Newcastle Stadium wouldn't have that. It would have all the behind-the-scenes bells and whistles, and it would have a visual impact. And it has to have that visual impact, but it has to have the identity so that you, when you walk into it, when you see it, you know you are in Newcastle and you're watching Newcastle United. And that will be very cleverly thought of. It'll be branded and it'll have USPs, like Tottenham's has got USPs. It's got the wall. Even the London Stadium has its USPs. Newcastle's will have a USP, and there'll be pressure on whoever the architect is to design this thing to get that right. But, you know, if the Saudis are doing this, it will be the best of the best. So it needs to have all those things, and probably a few more things that I haven't mentioned. And I would have full confidence that it would tick all those boxes.
I'm amazed in the confidence, because wow, that is one shopping list and a half, Ketch. And yeah, I could probably get on board of a football stadium that does all of those things, because you're absolutely right. You don't want a kind of football stadium that sits and does nothing else. I think back to Brazil World Cup and the kind of coach park that is the stadium now. Like, Stephen, for no reason in particular, I'm going to come to you for an alternate view here. You know, you mentioned the London Stadium, Ketch, and a lot about Spurs. Not all of the supporters of either of those clubs are happy in their new stadium. They think they've lost something. They think they've lost a bit of their soul and what it, you know, what it meant to be a Tottenham Hotspur fan or a West Ham United fan. Audie, out of Ketch's shopping list there, does anything worry you about a new stadium? Do you think it's all about the things that he's mentioned, or are you less convinced that that's what we need as a club?
Well, if we're going to go multi-use, can we make sure that like a running track is out of the question and definitely not going to go around into the pitch? I think some of the things Ketch is absolutely right about. You know, like, I mean, I do sit in the stand. Like, it's a proper late 70s, early 80s build. It's lots of concrete. And although it's got its own individuality in terms of things that I love about it and remember about it and have done since I've sat there, there are also things that I would very quickly change. The experience we had, Ketch, like you said, at Arsenal, like that is completely different. Like the space in the concourse, the speed at which you can get served at half time and things like that, and the amount of extra resources that are available to fans is massive. And currently in St. James's Park, that doesn't exist, I don't think, in any part of the ground. So I agree with you. Things like that could be redone, like that would make a massive difference. My concern about it is that not concerned about it. Like, what I would probably find difficult is that I'm not sure how many NFL teams would be desperate to come to Newcastle. And if they were desperate to come to Newcastle, great. But given that we don't really turn out for our actual own rugby team, it'd be interesting to see if we could fill an 80,000-seater stadium for an NFL game. And I know, again, that would probably be lots of people travelling from around the country, so sorry, I'm being quite blasé about that. the situation about like Real Madrid and stuff like that, I think we've probably got to consider that, yeah, we probably will want to go best in class, and like Real Madrid generally set the bar for what is best in class. My concern about like where we would go to, obviously, would probably be actually more based upon, as much as I do want it to be an experience for everyone who's going to the game, anytime they're going to the game, it's got to be something that also works for people who live in the local area. So where we put the stadium would be absolutely massive for me. If it's like tagged on the end of like out by the airport or whatever, right? Well, like that's suddenly out of town. It's not got the same links to what we've got at the moment. And yes, we would change with that and we would adapt to it. I thought what Spurs did was really, really clever in that they obviously built behind their own stadium and stuff like that. That doesn't look like it's a realistic prospect for us just because of the same issues will still apply. We'd just be moving them maybe 100, 200 feet or whatever in a different direction. If there's one thing that I could say was it would that I think would make a difference would be given the opportunity, and I've say you've kind of mentioned like the season ticket situation, but give people who are maybe season ticket holders in different parts of the ground from their mates, give them the opportunity to sit together. Like that would be something that would be good. I think we've probably also probably got to be a little bit more, and Rob, you mentioned it about some of us are in the fortunate position that we have season tickets. Yeah. I think we've got to be acutely aware that a lot of the extra tickets that will go on sale will not be for season ticket holders. Like, and that's not me being a pessimist or whatever, but the vast majority of people who are maybe thinking, oh yes, this could be my chance to get a season ticket, like, I'm really sorry, but it probably won't be. And it will be an opportunity maybe for you to get to more games and for members to get to more games, but that will be the route that they will go down. I don't believe suddenly 10,000 extra season tickets are suddenly going to be offered up for sale, because unless they were offered as corporate tickets or whatever, like I don't necessarily think there'd be an appetite for that. Now, I could be being hugely judgmental and could be being hugely pessimistic, but Ketch is right. It's the way modern football is going, and they've got to look at every individual seat as a way of making money through whatever means as a way of making money. And you're right, we're consumers, we're customers, but we're also supporters, and some of us will be forced out of our seats and changing our views, et cetera, over time. But I do think there's things that can be made better. I would need to be shown them properly before I could be utterly convinced. But if Ketch's shopping list all comes in, that's it. We're off. See you later.
Yeah, there won't be a running track. We've got Gateshead International Stadium. Don't worry.
another place that doesn't have much shelter for rainy days. If anyone was there pre-season, my God, that was a rainy day. Yeah, that's a really good point you've made, Stephen, about how many more season tickets will be made available. It probably really depends on how much capacity we go for, because as Ketch says, if we can push it up to 80, 90, because why if you're going to do it, you're not going to just add 15,000 seats. You're gonna go big, surely, with the ambition of filling it. And so if there are, let's say, 15,000 people who would snap up a season ticket tomorrow, you've then got to be, like you say, make enough space for the day trippers on top of that and away allocations, etc. But it's a really good point. Maybe there will be less season tickets on any new stadium than what we think, because of the model of that football takes now. It's a really interesting one that's kind of got me thinking a bit here. But yeah, Rob, are you in the same ballpark in terms of what a new stadium would look like? Is there anything different you'd like to see? Is there anything important to you? Stephen's mentioned the location being quite key, like how far out of the city can we realistically go to build a super stadium, and how important is it that we don't go too far from anyone?
No, I think it is very important. And I think what's interesting as well is I think Ketch's list was magnificent, by the way. I mean, if you could give us all of that at St. James, everyone would be cheering. But I think what's interesting is we've just discussed a lot of kind of like comforts for the fans and what could be better for us. But really what a lot of it, well, what you hope it boils down to is the actual football on the pitch as well. You know, the idea of, yes, we can have this and we can have that and it'll be great. But a lot of it really is all, I guess, the essence of, because we want to make more money so we can buy more players so that we can then have better football on the pitch. I spoke earlier about the idea of, you know, if I've already got a ticket at St. James's, what's the benefit of being moved over? yes, the idea of having all of those luxuries, but what I'd really want is to know that because they're able to get Beyonce to play there, because they can have the NFL there, because they can have people from all over the world coming in, because there's so many more seats to sell tickets, is that effectively it'll allow us to pump that money back into the football club. The idea that we're losing money every match day because we have people who want tickets who can't get tickets. It's this idea of moving to, I guess, progress and build and develop in terms of the kind of branding of Newcastle United and St. James's and trying to grow globally as like this kind of powerhouse. But at the same time, it's trying to bring that money in to actually, you know, so we can get Champions League every year. And when we do that, we have the seats to do it. So it's all kind of running hand in hand. So I think for me, that would, as lovely as it would be to sit on a padded, heated seat every week in the football stadium, I think my view is more kind of from the outside in of, well, they'll have more seats, so they'll sell more tickets, so we can buy more players, so we have a bigger wage budget every year. So it's kind of, all those things would be amazing, but I'm looking down that road. And just to touch on your location as well, yes, it needs to be in the city centre, definitely. I think Newcastle, St. James's Park has so many memories to us, already talking about the East Stand, you know, seeing my first season when we got promoted with Rafa Benitez, Mitro scored against Norwich, all those great times was in that stadium. But I think all of the little, you know, nooks and crannies of loves, I think one of the big things is just, and the, you know, the one thing or that few stadiums have is that location, walking up that hill through the big market. I know everyone's route is a little bit different, but making your way up there to that ground, if, like Ori said, it got plonked out next to the airport, so much changes. And yes, it'll be great to have Beyonce, but if you've got to get a two-hour taxi because the traffic's terrible on some country lane somewhere, then all of a sudden that loses all of its oomph as well. So, yeah, lots to take in.
I mean, I think it's important to point out that for every Beyonce, there'll hopefully be other acts for different...
Fender, I mean, that went well at St. James. Yeah. Again, he didn't need the toilet because no one could get to them. But yes, that was good too.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen, that kind of thing for different generations of music lovers. Yeah, it's... If I had to... model what I would like to see, it would probably be based on my experience at Dortmund this season, because that is a big stadium that still has atmosphere. It's got all the kind of modern cons. I thought the concourse was brilliant, nice and spacious. I thought getting into the ground was a good experience. I thought the food and drink on offer was fine. That stuff doesn't matter to me. You know, that survey they did at the start of the season about kind of, well, if we had better drinks and better food and all this stuff, would that mean you'd come to the stadium and spend more money? Well, for me, probably not. But because St. James's Park's in the middle of Newcastle, and there's a thousand pubs you can go to, and there's a place you can go with your mates that you always go. So it didn't matter how good the food and drink inside the stadium was, for me, it wouldn't change how long I would spend in there before the game. And they probably don't want to hear that, but that's exactly how I feel. If the stadium moved a bit further away, you'd probably have to get there a bit earlier and spend a bit more time. But the Dortmund experience for me was exactly it. And, you know, they've got the model of, well, if you get all your noisy fans in one side of the ground, you can absolutely create an atmosphere. There's plenty of space for corporate. There's plenty of space for all those different types of seating and categories you want to do. So it's definitely achievable in a modern stadium to still have that kind of traditional football feel to it. I'm still leaning towards, despite, I don't even think I'm that old, but, you know, I wasn't there in the 90s. I didn't see it really. I went to one game when it was just the Bull, Stephen. That's how young I am. But I still have that kind of nostalgic feel nonetheless. I still have that part of me that says we can't ever move away from St. James's Park. But I think we've all come to the conclusion that it probably has to happen, and it has to happen at some point in the near future if we want to sustain where we're trying to get to. You know, getting to the Champions League within one season probably wasn't the plan, albeit the you know, kind of the pretended it was. I think where we are now is kind of reflective of how much more of that journey there still is to go, and the stadium's part of that. It has to be. And it's a really interesting conversation, a one that won't end today, obviously. Keen to get listeners' thoughts as well. Please let us know. But lads, it's been a riveting chat. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed Ketch's shopping list in particular. So if we get even 80% of that, We're onto something that I'm sure most people could live with. But yes, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to Stephen, Ketch and Rob. We'll be back again at the weekend with another free show. But for now, thanks very much.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.